Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. Good morning. Have a listen to this one.
Listen to it. I mean, just listen to it. I mean, I can't. I mean, I don't. I mean, why do they have to be so loud?
Breathe, love.
Far worse for me, Claire. I mean, my hearing's impeccable.
I've read the same paragraph 47 times because I can't concentrate because, oh my God, the noise.
Well, the woman behind that meltdown is on the line now. Nicola Coughlan, hello. How are you?
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm good. You're very welcome back on the show. You are officially back in your uniform. You're filming Derry Girls. How's it all going?
It's mad. It's going brilliantly. These scripts for Series 3 are just phenomenal. Lisa is just the most talented woman in the world. And yeah, we're just going for it. It's like the most ambitious series yet. And it's obviously absolutely hilarious. It's been brilliant.
But it's the last one.
I know, it's the last one. We're going out in style, I promise you that.
Good, good, good. It must be a very special feeling on set at the moment. I mean, kind of bittersweet because you have this amazing script, you're in the middle of it, but it is the last one.
Totally. And I think it's a thing that Lisa always said she wanted to bring the story up to a certain point, and she sort of let us know what that is. And this series brings it to that point. Sorry for being so vague. I just don't want to spoil it.
No, Jesus, don't. You'd be dead.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But I think because she's brought it up to that point, the scripts are so wonderful and they're hilarious, but also heartbreaking in the way that only Lisa McGee can do. So there's been lots of laughter, lots of tears. It's a very special one.
Well, we definitely can't wait to see it. Listen, we have to talk about Bridgerton just for a second. Tiny little series. Only 82 million people watched it. The season 2 has just wrapped, I believe.
Yes, so I finished Bridgerton on a Friday morning and started Derry Girls on a Monday morning. So I haven't had a lot of sleep. Yeah, and I got to see the first episode of Series 2. They screened it for the cast and it's brilliant, even if I can say it myself.
You can.
But we were all so excited and bouncing around, and it focuses on Anthony Bridgerton's love story this year. And you get to see sort of a lot more of what's behind Penelope, so that was very, very fun to shoot and very fun to see as well.
Amazing. Nicola, you're a busy woman. Do you ever take time off?
Occasionally. I try and sleep a lot.
Okay. Sleep a lot. Yeah. On flights and cars and when you're getting to your next job. Okay. Exactly. Is there a bit of a fear as a young actor that, God, I have to keep going because the phone might stop ringing? Is there any
of
that going on?
You always have to be very grateful when you're working.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, someone's ringing my doorbell. I have to go.
Okay.
Not now.
Who is it?
I have no idea.
It might be someone important.
Yeah. Hello. A COVID test. Could you wait 5 minutes? I'm so sorry. I'm on the radio live right now. I'll buzz you in 1 second.
Nicola, do you have to? You're on set, so I bet you're getting COVID tested up the yin yang, are you?
It's my one day off set today. I'm thinking, who's coming to visit me? It's a COVID test, but that's,
of course
that's
it
what
is.
Happens when you're filming.
Of course it is. You have to get your COVID test or you won't be allowed on set. Well, it's good to know that they're being safe, so let them in.
Yes, very vigilant. What you're saying, you do. I mean, I think you should kind of always have that fear in a way, because I remember reading an interview with Judi Dench where she said, I'm just grateful still to be working. And I think you always need to keep that in your mind of how privileged you are to be on a set and doing what you love. But I love to be busy. I feel very grateful when I am. So, to be going from one job to another, I realise how much of a lucky position I'm in.
Okay,
definitely.
Give me a ballpark. How many COVID tests have you had to do in the last few months on set?
Oh, my God. I've had... So, on Bridgerton, we had them, I think, 5-6 times a week. And that's since March. So, I don't know. I'll have to get someone else to do the math.
Hundreds.
But
That's hundreds.
Yeah, but I mean, it's, hundreds. But it's all worth it. All worth it.
Absolutely. You're well used to it now. I mean, you rub shoulders with mega stars, your famous mates, you're handed designer gear. You're on the cover of magazines. What keeps you grounded? I mean, how do you do that?
Oh, my family, definitely. I mean, I come back. I spent the lockdown with my mum, which was great to get to do that. But I was my mum's personal assistant. I was painting rooms, cooking dinners, doing all the jobs. She had a list of jobs for me to do. So
Good on her.
She was delighted I was back for the lockdown. And then my niece and nephews, I'm just their auntie, so they don't. I'm not a fancy schmancy person on a magazine to them. I'm just their auntie.
You're just their auntie, Nicola. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
You appeared on RuPaul's Drag Race. Tell me everything.
Yes.
Oh my God. What was that like?
It was so amazing. I love that show so much. I mean, it's just so joyful, so brilliant. And I wanted to do it for like 10 years. And then when the offer came here, I couldn't believe it. I was just beside myself. And the first time you see RuPaul is when Ru walks out on the runway. And it's sort of a religious experience. You go, oh my God, it's really real. It's happening. And, you know, and I'm old enough to remember Supermodel of the World and RuPaul and the Brady Bunch movie. So it was like, yeah, a long time dream. But yeah, phenomenal experience. I loved it so much.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, listen, you are very keen to chat about something on your day off while you're getting COVID tested. Something that's very close to your heart. You are an ambassador for Laura Lynn, which I know very well. But for those who don't know about the just the amazing work they do, can you fill them in?
Of course. So Laura Lynn is Ireland's only children's hospice. And I'm very, very proud to be their ambassador. I got to go and visit them pre-COVID. And it's just the most magical, magical place. The work they do, they're honestly angels. They provide palliative care to kids and their families. And providing end-of-life care is one of the most selfless, wonderful things that people can do. And they bring those kids in there to let them be normal kids and to give respite to the parents and also to let their siblings sort of have a time just with their parents. And honestly, it's a tough place to visit, and I'm sure you know that very well. But when you go there, you think these people deserve the absolute world for the care that they provide for these families.
It's a funny feeling, because when you go to a place like Laura Lynn, you think it's going to be very sad, and it's not. I mean, it's a very joyous place to be. How they do it is incredible, because there's a lot of very sad stories and, you know, very sick children, but it's a really joyous place to be. I mean, it's an incredible organisation, and as me and you know, they rely solely on donations, and their Christmas appeal has started. How can we help? How can people help them?
Well, the thing is, Laura Lynn relies really heavily on the kindness of the public. And I will say this till I'm blue in the face, but I think Irish people are the most generous people in the world. They receive 30% of their funding from the government, so that leaves 70% on the kindness of the Irish public. And they really need those donations, because it's their 10th anniversary this year. They started in 2011, and they've provided over 400,000 hours of respite care to families. And that's phenomenal, but they need the funding. And I know this time of year is hard, but again, Irish people are so generous. So if people can spare a donation, it would mean so much to these children and their families.
There we go. And just go visit Laura Lynn, their website. Now, I can't let you go without giving out to you. Join the list of people who've started a bloody podcast. What's going on?
I have.
You've enough on your plate. And now you're doing a podcast. Tell us all about it.
Yes. So I got approached to ask if I wanted to do a podcast, I think about 2 years ago. Mm. And I said, I'm not really sure. I want to do an interview on and this and this. And then my friend Camilla Whitehill and I, we went to drama school together. And we used to look through Irish monologues. And we're like, God, these are always so depressing. You know, it was sort of daddy's out in the field, the potato crop is failing and granny is dying and the baby is crying. And we used to sort of improvise these really silly monologues to each other. And then we used to watch a lot of films, you know, with very questionable Irish accents, you know, Tom Cruise and Home and Away and Gerard Butler and P.S. I Love You. And we thought, wouldn't it be funny if we sort of wrote a parody of Irish drama that was, you know, written by people who didn't know any better. And we did a lot of research into like Brian Friel and all this stuff. And it was like, we say to people, it's like Brian Friel's masterwork written by two idiots. And it's called Whistle Through the Shamrocks. And we have the most incredible cast of people that agreed to do it. Jonathan Van Ness, Stephanie Beatrice from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Jamie Beamish, who people will know from Derry Girls and Bridgerton. I stole a lot of cast from both, I have to admit.
It sounds amazing, but I don't know. Where do you get the time, Nicola?
I wrote a lot of it during doing press for Bridgerton. So that was earlier in the year. And then we wrote 6 episodes, and I think there's 4 out at the moment, and you can kind of listen to them wherever you get podcasts. But it's a very ridiculous thing. It's sort of like we think we've written this amazing play, and we play versions of ourselves, and the actors that we have play versions of themselves going, this is the worst thing we've ever heard. And we're going, no, it's incredible. But yeah, it was very fun to have that kind of creative outlet during lockdown. And
amazing.
Then I sort of do edits in the car on the way back from set. But yeah, I like to keep busy, so what can you do?
You like to keep busy. Just speaking of Bridgerton there, Kim Kardashian is a massive fan. Have you met her yet? have you met Kim?
Kim and I, we chat hilariously, as ridiculous as that sounds, but I had heard way prior to any of this that she was like the nicest person, and she really sincerely is so sweet. And I messaged her before she did SNL. And I was like, I think you're going to do great. And she was like, I'm so nervous, but I'm really excited. And yeah, she's very excited for Bridgerton. But yeah, she's just a lovely, lovely person. So yeah, me bestie.
You're busy. You're busy. Listen, go and get your COVID test. And
I will.
Oh, no. And try and enjoy the rest of your day off. Thanks for taking the time to chat to us. Bye, Nicola.
Thanks for chatting, Jennifer. Bye.
Bye. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.